Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. We made it, folks. Another week in the books. Hope you had a good one. Hope you're heading into a weekend that doesn't include a monster snowstorm coming bearing down on New York City Sunday into Monday. Good times. Hope you're all staying warm, safe, thawed out wherever you are throughout the country. If you're in the Wisconsin and Minnesota area, watch out for the exploding trees. And more importantly, as Kyle Cousineau pointed out, make sure you bring in those beers from the garage. Those garage beers are set to freeze and explode if you don't bring them inside this weekend. So stay safe out there, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Play in the waiting game. The Green Bay Packers continue to interview folks for their defensive coordinator position. Matt LaFleur, per a couple of different reports, both Rob Demoski and Jason Wilde, indicating that, yes, LaFleur does plan on speaking with Jim Leonard, the former Badger and longtime player in both, obviously, Wisconsin, but then throughout the NFL, his time with Rex Ryan and Mike Pettine prior to becoming a coach himself, now obviously with the Denver Broncos. And that's a bit of a sought-after name. I think, you know, there were a couple teams linked to attempting to interview him. I knew one of the big kind of early links to Leonard was the Cowboys, but they have filled their defensive coordinator position, so that's one less suitor that the Packers need to worry about. But in the meantime, not a whole lot of other action when it comes to the green and gold. No doubt everybody's got their favorite prospect for coordinator. I know folks are making their lists and checking it twice. Interestingly, I've not seen a reported connection with Raheem Morris coming in for an actual interview yet, but he remains, you know, in the mix, at least through reports. Definitely seeing a lot of talk and writing up of potential interest from the Packers, but as of yet, still waiting to see that. Now, I probably missed it at some point, but I'm sure that will kind of manifest here over the course of the next few days. But in the meantime, good to see you all. Hope you're all doing well. Comments section lively as always. Before we get going, you guys know we got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. With ThetaCare Orthopedic Care, championship-level care is delivered to every fan and every athlete. Whether you're dealing with a nagging injury or recovering from surgery, the ThetaCare team is ready to help you heal smart and get back in the game. Because in Wisconsin, folks play hard and recover harder. ThetaCare is a proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, let's get going. Let's get to it. What's up, Jimmy? How are you? Starting us off. Thanks, buddy. Seattle looks dominant and new wig back to a physical team, and both have new eras on the brink of a Super Bowl. Meanwhile, Green Bay remains the Pittsburgh of the NFC. SMH. Did Pittsburgh mean that they suffered a bunch of injuries? Because it is kind of funny how everyone just seems to have memory hold the fact that the Packers took total control of the NFC North after beating the Bears the first time around. And yes, went into Denver and were leading that game in the third quarter. And even after the cascade of terrible injuries throughout that game that really hampered the squad for the rest of the season, they are still a botched onside kick recovery from hosting a playoff game. So yeah, I understand that what other teams are doing or how they look or et cetera are always fun fodder, especially during the off season, but it means precious little, you know. New England, you mean the team that played the easiest schedule, like historically in like more than 30 years? That one, that team is on the precipice. That's what you're telling me. Again, entitled town rears its ugly head. Good stuff. Very good point here. What's going on, folks? What do we got? Some more people. We got Aaron Harper. Go Pack Go. I don't care how the DC is, as long as it is not Joe Barry. Seems to be a bit of a rallying cry, no doubt about it. But, you know, look, I know I can get frustrated on the defensive side of the ball, certainly during watch party, etc. But, man, it ain't like the Packers have been, like, boat raced and terrible on defense. Like, especially with Halfley in town for the last couple of years. You know, they've been a top 10 unit. We've certainly seen a lot worse around Green Bay. Now, that doesn't mean they can't get better, and that is obviously the hope. You know, I jokingly, you know, if you listen to my conversation with Billy, say, I don't care. I'd whoever they hire is going to be under the purview and the direction of Matt LaFleur. I'm very interested to see how they go about assembling talent for whoever it is, depending on what kind of schematic changes they might make, if they make any at all, because they might not. But, you know, ultimately, yeah, the approach and the play style, as Matt always likes to talk, is the thing that really interests me. And we're not going to know much about that until we at least get them out there in pads, you know, which is, man, months and months and months away. Joe, what's up, man? Is there illegal tampering with coaches comparable to player free agency? There most certainly is. In fact, one of the guys that the Packers are talking to and reportedly have been talking to the last couple days in Gannon, he was subject to some of this when he got the job in Arizona as a head coach, in regards to how and when Arizona reached out and communicated with him and had the interviews, etc. But yes, there are certainly rules around when you're allowed to talk, when you're not allowed. Tampering certainly exists on the coach level. Definitely. E4, what's going on, man? Next year at this time, we will be talking about the frozen tundra again. I hope so. And I hope the team that is assembled with the idea of trying to dominate in that environment. I know that's a bit of a pipe dream at this point in 2026, but I'm with you, man. You know, use it to your advantage, especially as more and more teams go inside with these new dome stadiums. I love the idea of being one of the few teams still playing in the Arctic elements. I'm all aboard this train. Don Vito, how you doing, man? Thanks for the super chat. I mean, we have some great players on defense. They're not coming into a bare kitchen, and thank you for the kind words, Nags. Don, thank you so much for your email, man. Really meant a lot, and really touched that you shared a lot of your personal life with me. Thank you very much, brother. As far as, yeah, the players on defense, yeah, it's not like they're coming in to an empty cupboard, right? That's obviously the big headline is Micah Parsons, but there's also Edgerrin Cooper, Evan Williams, Xavier McKinney. Like, there's a lot of talent on that side of the ball. It's just a question of utilizing it and getting the most out of it, which you would hope anyone coming in through that door was going to be able to do. Caden Zek, how are you, man? Happy Friday, Nags. Will or have Packers done anything around strength and conditioning coaches? Feels like it's recurring every year. The only thing that's recurring, and this is not on you, Caden, but it does feel like every year someone or many people make a stink about the strength and conditioning coaches because, oh my gosh, the Packers have been injured. You know why they're injured? Because they play football. And you know when they literally jettisoned the strength and conditioning coaches? 2 years ago. Everyone's, oh, all these injuries. And then the strength and conditioning coaches go, bring a whole new group in, and, it's about time, finally, about time. Guess what? They still get injured because it's football and guys get hurt. Now, I'm obviously being somewhat flippant and facetious because I do understand that there are, of course, many levels and there's lots of sports science behind this and guys, how they train and the rhythms they train with and what they're doing both at the facility and away, what they're tasked with away from the facility, etc. I know there's minutia there, right? And there's a ton of work. But just the idea that fans seem to have that, well, the strength and conditioning coaches are clearly at fault because the Packers are hurt. They're hurt because they play football. Everybody's hurt. Everybody's dealing with injuries. Every single team. The four teams playing on Sunday, all dealing with guys that are banged up. I get it's frustrating when you see a team that has a season essentially go down the drain because of injuries, but that's, you know, somewhat the luck of the draw in the NFL. What else we got here, folks? AK Cheese said, what's up, man? Do you have a wish list for your dream offseason to win a Super Bowl in 2026? Way too early for that, man. I want to see who wins the Super Bowl this year. Now, clearly, some of it will be predicated upon who is the defensive coordinator, right? As far as what kind of moves they might make on defense. On the offensive side, it's pretty simple for me. They have to find a center. Who that might be, if it's Jacob Monk or somebody else, or they retain Sean Ryan, which I doubt, but if they draft one, who is that? When are they going to do that, pull that trigger, etc.? Because, you know, I would say 85% of the issues on offense this year could have been solved or would have been solved if the offensive line play had been better and or more consistent. So, and that goes, it's not just, and everyone, again, reach to firing coaches, and maybe they do move on from Butkus, but also look at who was playing where, how much, what they were asked to do. And this all started last offseason, even before the coaching staff got involved, when the personnel group decided, oh, we're going to let Josh Myers walk. We're going to move Elton Jenkins to center. We're going to sign Aaron Banks. Those are three decisions that the coaching staff had nothing to do with, right? And letting Josh Myers walk, it was obvious and understandable. But the reaction to that being, we're going to move Elton and we're going to sign Aaron Banks, already put the offensive line behind the eight ball before the coaches had even stepped in the building. So there's just, there's, you know, obviously a lot of levers to be pulled there. But to me, that's it. I mean, they've got the quarterback, they got the talent at all the skill positions. Obviously, you know, Tucker Kraft coming back is huge. You don't know on the exact timing yet, but I'm not worried about can they like throw the ball? Can they score points? I think they can do all of that. They proved that this year, even with a substandard offensive line performance. But they've got to be more consistent up front. And more than anything else, they got to figure out how to get back to running the ball consistently. And now, if that's, you know, doing more of the power stuff that they like to do with Jacobs, or they go back to maybe doing more zone stuff, that's up to Matt and his team. But that has got to get figured out. To me, that's A number one. And of course, that starts with the offensive line. So you talk about wish lists. My wish list for 2026 is fix the O-line. A number one. Jimmy, what's up, man? It seems the physical teams don't get injured. Obviously, San Francisco was beat up this year, but it seems soft teams get injured. I'm sorry, man. We are looking at very different things. Very, very different things. CBA limited hitting isn't helping. Yeah, Soder, you're not wrong as far as the thing I always talk about, right? If you want tacklers, you got to draft them, because you don't have time to teach tackling in the NFL. You got to have guys who are born to it, you know? And look, you can make the argument that the Packers maybe possibly lean into more athletes than actual tacklers / football players. They will swear blind that they don't, but man, sure feels like it sometimes, right? When you got guys out there throwing chicken wing shoulders or diving at ball carriers' feet rather than coming in on balance, wrapping up, driving through a guy. You know, that doesn't just materialize. But as you say, the CBA limits the amount of work you can do to get them to that position. They got to come in having it. Jimmy, thanks again, man. What week should we expect Parsons back? Well, he said, you know, he's obviously shooting for week one, though he even admitted that's unrealistic. You know, you never really know when a guy's coming back from an ACL, but it sure feels like he's going to start on PUP and then be ready after that 4-week kind of period that he has to miss game, those first four games, which is essentially what we saw with Christian Watson this year. And Watson was injured a bit later, you know, than Parsons was, but sure feels and sounds from listening to Parsons talk that, yeah, week five is probably his, at least the opening of his practice window. Now, I don't know if that, you know, would necessarily mean that he's going to be out there that following week, but that sure seems like the week he'll start practicing during the regular season. Amy, how are you? How much do the free agent misses fall on John Eric Sullivan, who all is involved in that scouting? I asked Andy, and he said it's hard to tell. Just wondered if you'd know. No, Andy's 100% correct. It is hard to know. And oftentimes, you know, it's, victory has 1,000 fathers and failure is an orphan. You know, I was making the joke the other day because of all the craziness going on in Buffalo. It was reminded me of, you know, Mike Sherman and Ron Wolf through back channels. This wasn't, you know, in press conferences or anything, but each of them trying to pass off the Jamal Reynolds mistake on each other. Like, ultimately, you know, it did finally come out that that was Sherman's call. But, yeah, man, it's John Eric Sullivan. He's certainly in the mix for all the selections. But ultimately, it is a reflection on Brian Gutekunst and no one else, because Brian's the one who makes the call, who pulls the trigger. And as far as, like, you're talking about free agency in particular, don't forget, a lot of that work is done by Richmond Williams, who does, you know, is the head of their pro personnel group. He's the one who's really digging down into free agents and looking for fits and how they might work in their systems, et cetera. who, by the way, you know, Richmond and his crew have done really good work over his time in Green Bay. These last two in particular with Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs certainly feel like misses at the moment, but more often than not, if they have signed someone in free agency, it has been a pretty significant success. So I'm willing to give them, you know, some grace and a little leeway. But as far as John Eric Sullivan's involvement, he'll be in the conversation. He'll be looking at the tape. He'll give his opinions to Gutekunst, but those are all Goody's calls, nobody else's. Kurt, it's a possibility. Al Harris, DC. I know they interviewed him earlier this week. I think it's a legit possibility. I would be surprised if he was a, quote, favorite, but you never know what he may have done in the interview to separate himself and maybe really impress LaFleur to make him maybe rethink some things, but certainly a possibility. You got to look, the way he's risen in the coaching ranks from his time when he first started in Kansas City to the work he did in Dallas to now this 1 year in Chicago, you can talk about how they've performed as a collective pass defense when he's been in those spots, but man, there is no denying the production at corner when he has been in each of those three areas, in each of those three cities. And for a team that has had precious little production from their cornerbacks, I could see how that might be a something that would be attractive. Let's say that. Jason, how are you, man? We don't need Pro Bowlers at corner. We won it all in 96 with Doug Evans and a rookie in Newsom. We just need a slight upgrade and depth. How dare you malign Doug Evans and Craig Newsom? No, I'm kidding. Okay, maybe don't need Pro Bowlers, but you need talent. You need a lot more talent. And I still somewhat understand their approach from this past offseason, thinking, okay, we've got enough up front to generate a pass rush where, you know, our corners are going to be playing a lot of zone, a lot of eyes on the quarterback, a lot of, you know, vision defense. Didn't seem that kind of ability to break on the ball because they had vision on the quarterback ever really materialized, even after getting Micah Parsons, right? And that, to me, is probably the biggest indictment of that group. And, yeah, they have to find a ball hawk, somebody who is, especially if you are, you know, and they will be, counting on Micah Parsons terrorizing quarterbacks and getting, you know, quick pressure on the QB, forcing the ball to come out quickly. You got to have at least somebody, one guy, who has the ability to trigger and get downhill and break it up or even pick it off. That needs to happen. Adam, how are you, man? There's something deeply comedic about the amount of A-Rod fans accounts tweeting fire LaFleur ad nauseum days after Rodgers himself that said that was BS. Yeah, you know, it's like poetry. It rhymes. You know, it's always the same types, always the same folks. It's I remember all the Favre fans, you know, wanting, you know, Aaron Rodgers to be cut and he was never going to work and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's always those folks that seem to be the most vocal, especially in a negative light, you know. Hey, if that's how they fan, phenomenal. I can't live in that zip code. That's what she said too. What's up? Hey, Nags, curious why no presser to announce Matt LaFleur extension, no news on Packers site either. It would be nice to hear his plans for staff, et cetera, moving forward. A little odd, no presser, no? Not odd at all, actually. They've never announced contract extensions for any of their, for Matt and Brian, they've never announced them. That's always just been done behind closed doors and then reported by the press later. Obviously, the situation is a bit different. I do think we're going to hear from Ed Policy eventually. And then I do think once we have the Policy presser, still think we're going to get a Brian Gutekunst presser, although it is kind of funny because the longer they wait, Brian's going to talk end of season presser. And then you flip 2 weeks later, he's going to be at the combine in Indianapolis talking again. So, I don't read anything into that. I think it makes perfect sense. I'd be surprised actually if LaFleur had another presser. I think the next time will you most likely hear from LaFleur is the owners' meetings because he and his staff don't go to the combine anymore. So I would suspect the owners' meetings is the next time when they have their kind of NFC and AFC breakfasts with the coach the media does, that's when I think you'll probably get some kind of illumination from LaFleur about what he's doing staff-wise, what they're thinking schematically on defense and things like that. Now, with that said, the one possibility where maybe they have a presser for whoever they hire a defensive coordinator and Matt speaks on that day. You know, I do, if I remember right, I think that happened when Halfley was hired. So that's a possibility. But certainly the signing of the contract is not what's going to be the impetus for him to get in front of a microphone. Or at least it hasn't been in the past. What else we got here, folks? Marty, how you doing, buddy? This ice bowl weather is no joke. Random Packer, Bart Starr. Saw you guys were getting hit today. I mean, stay warm, bundled up. Make sure you're, you know, got those garage beers inside. It's certainly a cold one there in Wisconsin today. Soder, how you doing, brother? Physicality flows from the inside out. Packers have been kind of meh on both interior lines the last few years. Seems to limit the Lambeau edge. I mean, I don't know about physicality as a whole, but I certainly agree that that is where you control the football game. And I agree with you, especially on the defensive side, that that has been an issue. Even Devontae Wyatt, who we all know is a good player, and they certainly weren't as good without him in there, but even he hasn't controlled the middle of the line of scrimmage the way you would hope, the way you would, you know, the way you've seen like Seattle's defense or the Texans defense do. You know, there's little doubt that that is an area where they need a little bit of reinforcement. And it feels like, I know they've spent a lot of draft capital there. You know, Brooks, Wooden, Brinson, etc. But, you know, those aren't guys that are going to, again, control the middle of the field. You know, they can shoot gaps, but I think they definitely need some kind of presence there. Now, maybe, you know, Riley or somebody comes in and solidifies that, surprises us, but I do think it's going to have to come through the draft. But we'll see. AJ, it's an interesting question. Do you think Jordan needs to be more vocal about staying aggressive when they have the lead? I just can't see Rodgers, Brady, et cetera, just accepting that relaxed approach in the second half when it doesn't work multiple different times. I think that is something that will maybe not like vocally, like demonstratively start to appear in his game or on his sideline demeanor. I don't think that's who he is. It doesn't appear to be, but I do think he's going to continue to grow as both a leader and as a conduit for LaFleur on the field. We started to see a little bit of that in the Arizona game. You know, they were going to kick that field goal and Jordan said, come on, we got it. Let's go for this. You know, and they then send the offense out there and convert it on fourth down. I got to suspect that's a conversation they'll probably have this offseason. You know, Jordan's ready to take more control of the offense. And I don't know if he needs to be, you know, more vocal about it, but, you know, certainly needs to be part of their working method, I would think. You know, he's going in his fourth year as a starter, has total command of the offense. I do think you'll see him given a little bit more leeway. Now, I don't think it's ever going to be what we saw with Aaron Rodgers, you know, where he's changing every play and every route, et cetera. But, you know, it's a little bit more ability to kind of put his own kind of, you know, stamp on that offense and control it a little bit more. I think that is probably in the future, like starting this season. I would not be surprised. Shout out from Sacramento, California. What's up, Zans? What's up from New York City? Hope you're doing well. Caden, thanks again, man. What's the word on Bisaccia? Opinions? I've stated a couple times, I think he's going to retire, would be my guess. And that's all it is a guess. But, you know, the rumor was he was thinking about retirement last offseason, and then they gave him the one-year extension. I suspect he retires this offseason. But again, just guesswork. Steve-O, how you doing, man? Cheers, Nags. Enjoying Newt's early draft work. Good cornerback review. Having my last Luigi Za on Sunday. Wish I had some Carry the G to wash it down. It's that time of year, man, where the Carry the G starts to disappear. And I know that despondence very well. Glad to hear you got some Luigi's, though. And thanks for checking out Newt's stuff. He's actually got a new one dropping over the weekend, ranking the running backs. And I know Packers fans are going to be interested in that. Given the state of the Packers backfield, I think the potential is there, certainly, for the Packers to look at running back in this draft. So make sure you check out Newt's stuff there. It'll be up over the weekend. I don't miss any super chats. I'm going to get mad. Jason, what's up? Nags, did Newt take over for Ross? No, not that I know of. Ross was doing draft stuff on Andy's channel. You probably have those two channels mixed up in your brain. Newt is doing great work for us here at Cheesehead TV, though. He had worked on the draft guide for us, and he actually, I think, came to Al with the idea of doing video for us, and I loved it, love that idea, and I love what he's done so far. So make sure you're checking out all his draft stuff, especially as we get, obviously, closer. The Shrine Bowl is going on right now this week. And I know we got Miles down there with some video from that that's going to go up tonight or over the weekend as well. And then Senior Bowl come, and then we got the Combine. The draft stuff's kicking off, man. Make sure you're checking it all out here on Cheesehead TV. All right, everybody, I got to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. Go Pack, go.